Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my amazing team, Ms. Denny Sunderly.
Hi there.
Mr. Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
Ms. Kathy Whirling.
Hi, everybody.
Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And, of course, our producer, the wonderful Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy, ahoy. Thank you.
And, yes, I'm in a good mood. Why? Why am I in a good mood? Because I just got off a four-night cruise on the Dream, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. We're doing a bunch of DCL shows later this week, so I don't want to do the whole thing here. But we are going to talk about it a little bit. Before we get to that, just a reminder, this show, along with everything we do, brought to you by DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com, of which I am one of the owners. If you like our content, if you like our shows, that's pretty much how I pay for it. So I would appreciate your support. Book your next Disney vacation with Dreams. Let one of our phenomenal agents, like Ms. Kathy Whirling, help you plan a great Disney vacation. And navigate all the BS that goes on sometimes, with, planning a Disney vacation when you have to spend hours and hours of time on the phone, on hold, making changes. My wonderful agents do that for you, and they don't charge anything extra for it. So, all right. There's a lot we have to talk about. Hold on. I have to remind everyone about our podcast cruise. What the hell are the dates?
May 16th
through the 20th of 2022. And we have a good block of rooms available, and the prices are really, really good. We're going to put a link in the show notes where you can check out information on the pricing for that. We are working on a lot of special things and entertainment that will be on what we will do during the cruise. If you've been on previous podcast cruises with us, you know that we throw a good party. Mm-hmm. John throws a good party.
Yes.
And he is working on some great stuff right now. There's a lot of discussions back and forth. A lot of creative ideas being thrown around. We're not ready to make any announcements yet, but we are working on some fun stuff. So please, if you're interested in joining us on a four-night sailing with a bunch of other podcast folks, it's been a long time since we've done one. We're really excited. We've sold a lot of staterooms already. They gave us a huge block of rooms. Mm. I mean, Disney was great.
Oh, that's good.
About that. They gave us a huge block of rooms, and the pricing, I'm very happy with the pricing. So, there's that. And I also want to remind everyone, sorry, I don't have my computer, so I'm going off my Samsung Galaxy Fold 3 5G.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. not sponsored. I wish.
I wish, because
this, you needed, like, when you went to buy this phone, they handed you a mortgage application. I want to remind everybody about the Night of a Million Lights going on this year. Again, second year in a row at Give Kids the World. USA Today last year called it the best thing to do in Orlando during the holidays. And think about that for a second, right? There's a lot going on in Orlando, especially over at Disney and Universal. USA Today said what Give Kids the World pulled off last year was the best thing in Orlando for the holidays. It runs from November 12th to January 2nd. Prices range from $25 to $40 for adults, $15 to $20 for kids. Pricing is dependent on what day. Like, you know, so they're yielding their prices based on when they think it's going to be popular. They're also offering VIP add-on options. They're offering dessert party add-on options. It's going to be a great, great experience. And that money goes to an amazing organization. You've all heard me talk about Give Kids the World over the years, and it won't stop. It won't stop. It is an incredible, incredible organization. They do God's work. And obviously, as a nonprofit, they were extremely hard hit by the events of the last year and a half, 2 years. But because they are one of the best run charities in the U.S., they are rated as one of the best run charities in the U.S., they were able to navigate those waters and come out stronger than ever. So please show your support for the Night of a Million Lights. Again, we'll have links to that in the show notes as well. And I think that was everything I needed to push. So let's get on to what I really want to know about. Now, Craig, I know you experienced this. I don't know if any of the rest do. I think Denny did Genie Plus. Yeah. I watched Craig's video of Genie Plus.
Just Genie for me.
Or Genie.
Not Genie.
Of Genie, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Disney's computerized mugging program. So I want to hear your opinion. I mean, I know kind of your opinions, Craig. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your opinions, Denny. I know you had some issues with refunds. And
yeah, I did. And I, you know, I've talked a lot. I talked a lot on the show last week, live from Hollywood Studios in the canyon between Toy Story Land and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge about what the experience was on the ground the first day. So it's and I also published an article that's on the Diz right now entitled if Disney Genie makes you want to scream, keep these things in mind, because it will absolutely make you want to scream from time to time. It absolutely will. I have not minced words over the past few months about my disappointment in Disney leadership and their willingness to monetize that which used to be included in a guest's park ticket or in a resort stay. And that's what this is. It is, I understand Disney Genie, like that can be flexible. Those are just suggestions. But if you decide to fork over $15 per person per day for Disney Genie Plus and take that next available time to get onto some of those attractions that you're really wanting to, that's hard for me to swallow because we're seeing it with the dining packages that are now at Rose and Crown and at Spice Road Table. That this used to be fireworks views that anybody who was paying to eat at those dining locations could enjoy. And now they're being upsold. You want that location? You want that view? Well, you got to pay a little bit more for it now. You got to pay $89. So for me, it's more of the same and it's disappointing. That's the only word. That's not the only word.
that's the only word she'll use on camera.
That's the overarching word for me personally. That being said, if you are willing to pay that amount, it's a great feeling to cruise right on up that lightning lane and bypass an entire line. Like I tweeted out last Tuesday, I was from attraction marquee to sitting in the limo on Rock and Roller Coaster in 11 minutes. Wow. And that included the little pre-show with the band. Like they just move you and you cruise. So that was Genie Plus. Individual lightning lanes, I paid $9 to ride Frozen Ever After. It was a 75-minute wait. It was 4 minutes from door to boat for the individual lightning lanes. So if you want to pay the money, it can pay off. Although, and I said this on last week's show, I said it in my article, you know, it doesn't always pay off because Soarin', I had a lightning lane booked for Soarin', beat it over from the studios to Epcot to ride it. And the standby line was 20 minutes. So it took 16 for me to get through the lightning lane process. Oh, so that was a little bit slower. So there, it is neat, and I also said this in the article, it is needlessly complicated. It just is.
And I really want to go and experience it. I would have been there with you had I not been on a cruise. and I want to go and experience it, but I don't think my blood pressure medication is strong enough. I think I will have like a meltdown in the middle of the park. And, you know, you talk about you know, upcharging for things that used to be included with an already high price of admission. It's not like prior to COVID, you know, Disney was a bargain. You know, it was always expensive. So, and this is my really good segue into cruise, because I'm dying to talk about a little bit. We're doing a bunch of shows on Thursday, but.
Will you go in and try it? Will you go in and give Disney Genie a shot?
Absolutely.
And Genie Plus.
And I have to meditate, then gird my loins.
Well, I think the important part with Genie Plus in particular, if you're paying the $15 per person, think about what park you're starting at. Absolutely. Or if you only have a 1 day park ticket, think about that. Magic Kingdom, there is no doubt about it. Yeah, it sucks. It's $15 per person, but you can clean up at Magic Kingdom with the amount of attractions you're going to get on with Lightning Lane. And then look at Hollywood Studios. If you're a coaster fan and you're a thrill ride fan, I think you can absolutely make out there too. For something like Epcot, if that's your only one park for the day, I would not buy it at all. Hop over to Epcot and use maybe one or two things, but do not pay for it. And that's like,
Throwing your money out the window if you buy.
What did you even use it
if
on?
If you
there?
Buy Genie Plus at Epcot. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no. But that's like, I remember when we were leading up to this saying we need to know what rides are available before it like really breaks down whether or not it's worth it. And just on paper and from friends that have gone and used it, Magic Kingdom, no brainer. Hollywood Studios, if you're into the attractions. Animal Kingdom, if you're spending all day there or Epcot all day there, do not waste your money. I mean, you will maybe cut down on some wait times, but not the value just isn't quite there at all. And I know we are going to move on to cruise, so I'll just talk about Genie for a second.
Sure, absolutely.
It is.
We got time. I mean, we got another 45 minutes before.
I know. I just don't want to lose it and get back away from there. I got a lot of flack on the video I posted on our Diz YouTube channel, not a lot of flack, just from a couple people. My experiment that I did, and I urge you to go watch it if you haven't, is I went to Magic Kingdom, not at Rope Drop, a couple hours after park opening at the busiest time. And I said, okay, I'll use Genie to plan my day. And I only have like 4 hours that I'm going to do it. I'm not staying till park close. So I went into it, and with Genie, the free one, just like a paid option, you go through and you select all the things that interest you, that what you want to do. So I put one or two rides from each land, pretty much all the thrill rides, and said, those are what I want to do. And let's see how Genie navigates my time in the park. And it didn't work right from the start. So I might have screwed up and had like Buzz Lightyear picked, but like right away I was looking at like what it was telling me to do. And it's like, go to Buzz Lightyear. I'm like, I think I picked Space Mountain and People Mover for my two rides in Tomorrowland. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know what? I'll ignore it. Space Mountain is a 35-minute wait, whereas Buzz Lightyear is a 45-minute. So I'm just going to go to Space Mountain because that's what's on my list to do. Get off of Space Mountain and then I think they're suggesting for me to go to Haunted Mansion, which has a 45-minute wait, versus Pirates being on my list and Big Thunder Mountain being on my list. Both of those were 35 and 30 minutes, yet they wanted to push me to the 45-minute. So I just kept going about my day, doing my thing. And as I did the attractions, I unselected them from my list because like I accomplished them. That should be a built-in feature of Genie or Genie Plus. Genie Plus, because once you use your one, it knows it's gone. But it should be for Genie too. As soon as you're done with the attraction you wanted to do, it shouldn't suggest it over and over again.
Well, and that was something we were told was going to happen.
Okay.
Like if you went on an attraction, Genie was supposed to know, oh, you've already been here and done that.
Yeah.
So
that was in their first announcement thing. Yep. They said once you did it, it would go away. Mm-hmm.
Well, it did not go away for me. I even after unselecting, it still didn't go away. And then it got to the point where as I was running out of time, it's suggesting still like, oh, go to the carousel now. Which, of course, the carousel was not on my list. And this was very similar to, like, the day before I went and did this, I think Touring Plans did a big matchup with their app versus Disney Genie. And in, like, the first hour of the day, Disney Genie was telling their person, oh, you need to go experience Swiss Family Treehouse right now. when you just walk right through, and other ridiculous suggestions like that. So, I mean, maybe this is artificial intelligence that will figure it out one day, what people truly want and how to navigate people around. But it did not take my recommendations into opinion at all. And on top of that, it assumes that you're going to be there the entire day. Right. And so it's saying you can wait till later. That's not how it works.
Here's the thing. And I knew this the minute they announced it. This is not about you having the best day. This is about them moving the traffic where they want it. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's nothing magnanimous about the free version of Disney Genie. And I haven't used it yet, and I could tell you that. That this is all about them and their desire to move traffic. And so these stories make perfect sense to me. Make perfect sense. This is where I want to go, and the app tells you, no, you go there. Now, we know better, right? We know better because we do this for a living, for God's sakes. But I'm thinking of the poor, unsuspecting family that, you know, doesn't spend 83 hours a week online planning every aspect of their vacation, that uses this and ends up getting, you know, Big Brother's idea of what your day should be rather than the day you want with your family.
Well, and that's exactly it. A couple of people commented to me and said, well, this is a failed experiment because you didn't do what the genie recommended you do. Like, you don't need a PhD to know that they were never going to get all of my wish list done when they're telling me to go ride the carousel in the middle of the day. That's not how it works. So
although I would have paid good money to see Craig on the carousel.
I love the carousel. I will ride the carousel. I am going to go back and do it.
I want you in a princess dress.
That will not happen. But Craig,
it also seemed like when you were saying what you selected and what they gave you, it wasn't like how if we planned it, it would be like you went to Pirates, then you went to the Tiki Room. Like, it seemed like it had you going across the park. You were doing a lot of extra walking if you followed their plan.
I don't know. I mean, my plan of going to what the shortest waits were, I feel like that also had me walking around a lot. So I'm not going to knock them as much on that. But I don't like the free version of this. I do think that it's just going to incorrectly steer people. Like, yeah, if you follow my day, it will steer you the wrong way. If you go to the tip board and you use common sense and look at what the wait times are and believe that Disney's wait times are right and then go based on the wait times, I think you can still manage to have a good day. But if you use the my day suggestions, the only thing I believe it's truly good for, and that I think is most people are agreeing on, with dining, you can put in which restaurants you want to eat at, and it will tell you when, like, it'll tell you the best times to do your mobile order, or if it's a sit down restaurant, it will tell you if there's open availability.
Well, obviously, they don't really want you using the free version. They want you spending the money, so it would almost make sense. And I realize I'm being conspiratorial when I say this, but it would almost make sense that the free version would be annoying. Like, and like you're on vacation and you're trying to eliminate stress, right?
Right.
And so if it's the free version is stressing you out, you know what? I'm just going to pay the $15 to go on this or the $9 to go on that.
Well, I almost did that with Mind Train. And I was like, why not? Why not just pay the money and do it? But I wanted to do it as free as possible. And so the next time I do it, I promise I will follow everything they say. So if you're watching the most boring video, because it's because you're telling me to do it.
Let's plan you and I to go together and do that.
Okay.
And we'll vlog that.
Okay.
So we literally will let it plan our day.
Oh my gosh.
That would be fun.
It'll be fun.
That'd be fun. I mean, I don't know that, whoever's phone we're using is going to still exist when we're done. But, something that Denny mentioned about, things that were used to be free are now being charged for, and how, and we've talked about this a lot before, how a lot of these changes are diminishing the experience we've come to love. Not to say that at some point between their adjustments and our adjustments that we're not going to find that again with what Disney's doing. I won't say that because I'm a student of history and I know how we are. We complain, 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 and then all of a sudden we love it. And guilty as charged, right? I'm not throwing any shade here. I've done it. But something that was really interesting for me, and I didn't go into this cruise thinking about this. I went into the cruise open-minded. I went into the cruise thinking, you know what? There are changes, right? We have to wear masks inside. We've got to do the testing at the port. And that's the most nerve-wracking 45 minutes of your life.
I was going to ask you about
that. When you get to the port and they do the testing and you got to wait the 30 to 45 minutes for your test results to come back to let you know if you – right, exactly. Before they let you know if you're clear to get on the ship. It really is nerve-wracking. But the first full day on the cruise, which was last Tuesday, I'm hanging out on deck, and I'm kind of looking at where I am. And I said, nothing that they are doing for safety is taking one iota away from this experience. This is a Disney cruise. Yes, there are changes. Yes, there are changes. None of it impacted my experience, my enjoyment, one iota on that cruise. I felt, and I paid, because I was reviewing it, I paid full price for my room. That's the standard we hold with everything we review. We have to pay the same thing you do. If it's getting comped, great, but we're not going to talk about it. So I paid full price for this cruise. And I had a one-bedroom in concierge. Cost $6,500, I think, for the 4 days. Made my spa appointments, although not all the services were available online, but when you got, like, they had no facials available. I'm like, damn, I really need a facial. And you get to, I got to the spa, they're like, oh, yeah, no, we're doing them. I'm like, oh, thank God. You don't look this beautiful without facials. Although she did tell me, they always tell me, you have great skin. I'm like, oh. I use Elemis products. But I don't know. It was so non-stressful.
See, that's I'm looking forward to our cruise because I get a lot of people that, well, if these procedures are still in place in a couple months, I'm not cruising. And everything that I've heard from everybody that has gone on a Disney cruise has come back and said the safety precautions and procedures have not hampered their trip.
Not one bit. And I'll tell you what. Obviously, you know, I'm very cautious about it. I was supposed to be on the first sailing of the Dream back in August, and I canceled at the last minute because I didn't feel comfortable. I would bring my mother on this cruise. I say that wholeheartedly. Now, whether or not she'll go right now is another story. But I would feel comfortable with my 92-year-old mother going on this cruise. You touch a surface. There is somebody behind you with a bottle of sanitizer and a cloth wiping everything down. It's kind of like Rhino.
I was just going to say. It's like
me in the studio. Yeah,
it's kind of like Rhino. But the service level, I don't know how they do it. I felt like I got every dollar's worth.
Oh, that's
out
good.
Of this sailing. The only disappointment, and I'm not going to go into it, the only disappointment was Palo. If you want to find out why, you'll watch the rant that I'm going to record on Thursday. It's like a tale of two Disneys right now. I mean, I always preferred Cruise Line over World, just generally speaking. I mean, love both, but this felt like this was the experience I was used to. I don't feel like they took anything away, really, because of COVID. Is it expensive? Sure. But let me tell you something. Now, and this isn't going to last forever, but a ship that holds 4,000 people had 1,600 on it. And what I hadn't thought of is the impact that was going to have on the dining rooms. Now, generally speaking, I think the free dining rooms, the regular dining rooms on Disney are good. They're certainly better than they are on Royal, certainly better than they are on Carnival, because those cruise lines want the food bad so that you'll pay the upcharge to go to the specialty restaurants. And I give Disney a lot of credit. They don't do that. Well, at least they haven't yet. But I think because they were serving so many fewer guests, every dish I had in the main dining rooms tasted like it was cooked to order.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So good.
And was so good. And I mean, like I said, not that I like the food is horrible, but I don't usually like get excited about main dining room food on cruises. This was good. This was good. We have vlogged every one of them. One of them we couldn't do the closing of the vlog because it was so loud in Animator's Palette, and that annoying show kept going off.
Dude.
And because, again, fewer people in the dining room, but the volume of the show is set as though the dining room is full. And okay. We were seated right next to a screen and speakers. And I think I still can't hear properly.
Wow.
But it just really brought home for me this. It is a tale of two Disneys. And I'm saying to myself, the money you spend at World and the stress that's associated with it right now versus the money you spend on cruise. I'm cruising. But then again, I live here. I do this for a living. I get my perspectives a little different. But
perception between Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line is, since they reopened at Walt Disney World, it's like, okay, we're going to charge you for this, or this isn't available anymore, and there's no trams, and there's still stuff that's not available and all that. And then there's Cruise Line. And everything's
show
like,
up.
It's like how it was.
They're going to shove something up your nose.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. Welcome. But outside of that, there was absolutely none of the changes they made took one thing away mm-hmm. from that experience for me. And I was so happy. I was so happy that that's how I felt because I was worried.
Right.
With everything going on at World, mm-hmm. I'm like, am I going to get on this? I mean, I'd heard from you guys and mm-hmm. from other people that have sailed, but, you know, we need our own personal experience to really.
What did you think? One of the things for me being on a Disney cruise was being able to put my phone away, and now you have to use the app for everything.
Well, you see, my phone is never away.
Well, and I know you're different, but.
Oh, I don't think I'm different. I think a lot of people want to have, you know, we like to stay connected. We like to, and I've got a whole thing. There's a whole article I am writing right now about. It's a letter to Disney about their internet, and it's going to be every bit as charming as you think it's going to be, because one place. But this is consistent. This has nothing to do with COVID. One place, Disney just falls down on the job, is their onboard internet. Carnival. I was on, I think it was the Horizon. I forget. It was one of their newer ships last year. I paid, I think it was $14 or $15 a day for unlimited high-speed internet. And it worked like a charm every single time. You could do like FaceTime calls from this connection. That's how good it was. And Disney, it's like dialing into AOL. And there's no excuse for it. Not when every other cruise line has it. And it's just, with everything else being so good, like, it just is kind of like this glaring sore thumb. Mm-hmm. Now, using the app, and again, I'll get into this in more detail on Thursday, but using the app would have been great, because you have to be connected to the Disney guest Wi-Fi, not the paid version, just you have to be connected. The number of times I brought up that app was connected to Disney guests, and the app says you're not connected to the Disney guest network. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God. And I would have to shut my phone off and turn it back on, and then it would work for a little while. And I did this on two different phones. I have the Galaxy, and
so
I have
it wasn't just
I have
your
the
Android?
iPhone, uh-huh. and I have the iPhone, okay. and it happened on both. It happened on both. So here again, you know, Disney and apps and technology, really, just stop.
Yeah.
Just give it up. Just give it up.
But I understand what you're saying, Kathy. Like back in the day, we could put our phones in the safe and not even worry about it, right? If you wanted to not be as connected. Unfortunately, now, I mean, just like at Walt Disney World, you're scanning QR codes at restaurants.
Yeah.
So that, you really need it.
I can remember the first Disney cruise I went on, and Katie goes, okay, now you got to put all your equipment in the safe. And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. I can't do it. And once I did,
yeah, no.
It was handled. Well, I mean, I still would bring it out to check things, but that was, to me, was one of the benefits of the cruise was for us who are always on this stuff to dial it back a little bit. Now, I'm anxious to see how it is, you know, so I can relate that to my customers, but clients, but it's like, I'm just hoping it doesn't. Okay.
It's all right. It's okay. going to be all right. It's good because now you have your navigator with you at all times. You're not looking for your paper copy. It's with you. You can highlight. You can still do all the, you know, you can hit the heart and it can remind you ahead of time, 15 minutes in advance. Hey, Disney's Believe is happening down in the Walt Disney Theater in 15 minutes, heads up, that kind of thing. So it is convenient as long as it works. Now, for us, it was glitching a lot in that it was sending us the COVID-19, the daily COVID-19 message, like repeatedly.
I know.
Every day I'm going, okay.
I haven't forgotten about COVID.
Five times is enough.
You're magical, not that magical. I have not forgotten about what's going on in the world.
You know, it is what it is, but it was all right.
Okay.
But I just really found the dichotomy. Between my experiences at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Disney Cruise Line, you know, where I felt like, you know, at World and Land, I did feel like it's a shell of its former experience because of this. But okay, I understand. Whereas on Cruise Line, precautions, yeah, but not – I mean, it was phenomenal – and so few people. And like the – I had a love-hate relationship with that because, like, you know, when you first get on and the cruise terminal is not packed at all and you kind of just – if you're there at your boarding time, you walk right on the ship. Sitting up on deck on embarkation day, usually it's like crawling with people. Nope. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. But then, like, later on, I'm like, okay, this is kind of creepy. This is kind of, and I didn't realize that, you know, the crowd, as much as I dislike other people, the crowd kind of was part of the energy, was part of the vibe.
We're all like, sailing away and we're so happy.
Yeah.
And dancing.
Yeah.
But how was it on at Sea Day? Because that to me, it just looks like teeming masses of people.
No, nobody was having trouble finding a lounge chair. It was great. It really was phenomenal. I and Disney Cruise Line, all that complaining I did for a year about them not communicating anything to us, well, obviously they took that time and they were they were dotting their I's and crossing their T's because they got this right. They got this right. And I'm so excited and getting ready to do it. We're working on a little group cruise for the team to do some work that I want to do. And I'm very excited. Very, very, very excited. I can't wait.
You know, I've even found the cast members when I have to call in. At Cruise Line, they're always, have you taken a cruise yet? How, you know, what did you think? And, oh, when I went on mine, and you call Walt Disney World, and it's like, okay, what can I do for you? It's like, there isn't the enthusiasm or.
Well, you know, I say this a lot to remember that these are different business units within the company. Oh, Disney World is a business unit. ABD is a business unit. Aulani is a business unit. Cruise Line is a business unit. But I agree. I feel that the difference between Cruise Line and Walt Disney World doesn't feel like two business units under the same company. It feels like two entirely different companies right now. It feels like there is an entirely different group of people running Cruise Line, making decisions for Cruise Line, guiding Cruise Line versus the group of people that are doing it for Walt Disney World. And of course, they all answer up to Burbank. But I have to tell you, that their reboot of that product is about as flawless as it possibly could have been. And I was looking. I was talking to a lot of people. A lot of people who've been on previous cruises that said, you know, we weren't sure what to expect, but this is fantastic. Now, look, at some point, they're going to fill their ships again. And I think it's going to come sooner rather than later. There's a lot of pent-up demand. There's a lot of, I know from the Dreams Unlimited standpoint, we've got a lot of bookings for next year. And, of course, the Wish and everything. But I don't know. They got this right. And it doesn't feel like it adequately conveys the experience.
I think that needs to get out. Because like I said, with the clients that I have and the different comments that I've seen people make, that, you know, if it's this way, I'm not cruising. I think the message needs to get out there that people, you can still have a great mm-hmm. time. You know, they're thinking of your safety, yes, but it's not really impeding
you. Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. New normal, guys. This ain't going anywhere, all right? This is the new normal. I can just speak for myself. I'm not going to say that anybody else's perceptions are inaccurate or wrong. So one of the things I was concerned about, like I scheduled a massage. Up until two sailings ago, you had to wear a mask in a treatment room. That's why they weren't doing facials. You had to wear a mask. And I'm like, I'll try it. But it turns out that two sailings ago, they got these big air sanitizer machines put in every treatment room. So you don't need the mask. Now, your technician is wearing a mask. Your massage therapist, your esthetician, they're wearing masks. But you don't have to. And then the rainforest room? Oh, my God. You book the rainforest room privately now.
What's the rainforest room? I don't know anything.
Oh, you don't know.
It's
cool. Right up your alley, Fiasco.
It sounds like it is.
Oh, yeah. No. This spa, we're going to have to pull you out of this spa.
Okay.
Because I've always said, I don't think that spa, the spas on the ships have any equal on land. I don't think they have any equal. But honest to God.
Will it be on the ship that we're going on?
They're on all the ships.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so adorable.
I don't know anything. It's a large room. It's filled with terracotta loungers that are heated.
Aromatherapy showers, steam rooms.
And it's just a place whirlpools. To chill. To veg and chill.
I dig it.
So,
but usually it's open, like anybody can go in. Mm-hmm. But now what they're doing is they're blocking, I think it's a 90-minute. You can book a 90-minute session that you just have it to yourself. And then Castaway. I don't know what they did with the food on Castaway Key. I don't know what the hell happened there. But wow, is it good.
Mm.
Wow, is it good. Yeah,
they're really taking time with it.
It's the lower number mm-hmm. of guests. I have to imagine, but it's kind of a double-edged sword for the crew because mm-hmm. they work on tips. This is one thing I really want to drive home. Mm-hmm. Be very, very generous with your tips because these guys are working as hard as they always work, but they have 35-40% of the guests.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so I made sure I dug deep for all of them, for my stateroom host, my server and assistant server, head server, concierge, all of them. So I would encourage everyone to, when you're on the cruise, dig as deep as you can. Be as kind as you can with those tips. They'll give you the suggested tips. If you can do a little bit more or a lot more, please be kind. Please be kind.
Speaking of digging deep, you mentioned that the stateroom that you got was $6,500. And just because I just want to throw it out there.
It was a one bedroom suite in concierge.
This is not typical. Like this. You don't have to fork over $6,500 DCL.
No, you don't. I mean, right now in particular, you could get a veranda stateroom for $2,200-$2,300 for a 4-night stay.
I don't want to say what I paid for mine.
Well, did you get a TA rate?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you did the TA rate, so we don't talk about that because, and now Kathy's not allowed to review it because she's not paying the publicly available rate. But yeah, the TA rates, and well, if you're a Florida resident, the Florida resident rates are really good as well. And technically, I can get away with that, but I still feel. I mean, I wanted the one bedroom. I wanted concierge. I wanted that experience for myself because that's what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there, if that's not in your ballpark, there are options.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No. That's
definitely less.
That really, I mean, if you're in the concierge, if you like staying concierge, Disney has no equal anywhere in their universe, not at any resort on either coast, holds a candle to the concierge team on the ships.
Well, can I say, too, one time Kitty had a friend that worked on, I think it was the Dream. So we got a behind-the-scenes tour. And you know how at Disney they go, anything that's not guest-facing is very plain, very – the same things with Cruise Line. When you see the rooms that the cast members sleep in on the ship, right there, you would give them extra tips. Their rooms, the tiny rooms that they have, that as magical as the ship is for us, and the tiny rooms that they sleep in, and like the room they have that they can check their emails and different things, really makes you appreciate what you have and what they go through to give you that kind of service on the ship. So we always, you know, generously tip, but it's just amazing to see the difference between us and the cast members.
Now, Rhino, how do you feel about the prospect of going back on the cruise right now?
I mean, it sounds, being in any area where the vaccination is a requirement with the tests and everything like that sounds amazing to me. So that part seems great. I am having isolation anxiety, though. So I am struggling mentally with the idea of being locked on a ship where I can't get out or go anywhere. Apparently some sort of issues happened to me during the lockdown. So I am stressed about that a little bit. But, I mean, in terms of what everybody has said here, this sounds like a better experience than going to the grocery store, going to the park, going anywhere that I've even been.
I'm going to tell you something. Jackie said something to me when she got back from doing the cruise, that she felt safer on that cruise ship than she did at Publix. And I thought maybe she was being Jackie.
Yeah.
You know, where everything's magical. No, she was absolutely right. She was absolutely. I agreed wholeheartedly. I agreed wholeheartedly. Absolutely. Between knowing that everybody that got on that ship was vaccinated, knowing everybody that got on that ship had been tested, and then watching them constantly cleaning every surface. And bear in mind that even before COVID, Disney Cruise Line exceeded CDC guidelines for the cleanliness on their ships. They constantly exceeded those guidelines. So that was without COVID. Now with this, I think I really do. I think it's like, you know, Cruise by Rhino. Everything's being wiped out.
I think you made a really interesting point earlier in the episode when you said about it being kind of that toss up right now, saying that essentially Disney World has become so expensive that it's getting so close in part before it was like, you know, Disney Cruise Line price wise was up here and Disney World's over here.
So yeah, I don't think that's the case anymore.
And that's the, it's the,
You're
okay. So, if, like, from a standpoint of being like, it feels like lately at Walt Disney World, the message is the lower class is no longer welcome here because we're being told in every area of our life that we're not important enough to make a certain amount of money to be able to do this and all that. And Disney World has just joined that group. And, you know, and that it is, it has, Disney has always been a luxury. And now they're a platinum diamond luxury, whatever thing that says you're not good enough for us. And now here we have on the other hand with Disney Cruise Line, if that price is getting, is in reach now and you can go on there and you feel like you are a million, you know, a millionaire and you're not, but they make you feel like that. That sounds like such a better experience than going to have to deal with this genie thing that makes me feel incompetent because my phone isn't the right type of phone to use, or I don't have the money to spend for the plus. So like, and then you have this other thing where they're rolling out the red carpet for you every day. Yeah. I'd rather take the red carpet over the people who are like, yeah, great, you paid for the basic ticket, but nobody likes those people. Like,
yeah.
Go stand in the line, you idiot.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what stateroom category you're in. It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter what state. First of all, the staterooms are all beautiful.
They are.
Really well appointed. And the service, it's old Disney service on those ships. It's the way it used to be at the parks. And isn't anymore. And I don't know why that's true on Cruise Line, because they pay them less. These guys really sustain themselves on tips. And so it's not like they're being – I mean, I've talked to several crew members who said, you know, they do take good care of us. So it's good to hear that.
And they haven't been back quite as long as the cast members who at Walt Disney World. The Fantasy just – resumed sailing, you know, in September, beginning of September.
Yeah.
So it was very genuine. They were very, very excited, but it's just a very different animal between Disney World cast members and crew members, just in what they've each had to go through a lot. Both groups have had to go through a lot, but yeah.
And I don't know, for my money, after the experience I just had, it's all DCL all the time.
I'm excited for my first experience.
Well, we may not take you. You know, you're so frail.
I got the clearance and everything.
So. I do want to tell you, people in the chat have said that your hair looks like a Pantene Pro V commercial.
Yes. Oh,
wow. I thought that was a nice compliment.
It's
that is, yeah, a could really you do nice a hair compliment. Flip? Would it move if you did one of these guys?
You've got product.
Oh,
what?
Right, can we get the replay in slow mo?
He's got a little share going on.
Yeah.
He kind of did the
Now
it was really you know, for somebody who does what I do for a living. And who's done that? I mean, I'm going on 25 years of doing this, which I keep saying that out loud and going, oh my God, when did that happen? It was a really, really eye-opening experience for me on the cruise. And, you know, there's a part of me that wants to tell all of you it sucked so that you don't go on and I can have those ships to myself. But it didn't. It didn't. Not at all. Not at all. It was, I know this is very melodramatic, but I'm a drama queen. I sat on deck one night and I'm looking up at the funnels and I'm saying to myself, this ship is the cure for my soul after COVID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is what I've been waiting for. It's what I needed. I'll tell you something. It just kind of punched this hole in this muck that I've been feeling. And I'm sure we all have. This muck that I've been feeling, kind of punched a hole in it. Now I feel like my energy, my creativity is all starting to flow again. And I'm like, oh, there you are. I'd forgotten what you looked like.
Oh, I can't wait to walk on the ship. And I said, I always got goosebumps. And I said, I can remember the first time I went on the Dream and there, I was crying in the lobby. And I'm not a crier usually. And cast member comes over, are you okay? And I'm like, she's beautiful. It's like, I just want to be enveloped in that magic. The Disney, it's like, you know, the Disney that we all believe in and,
It's alive and well on Disney Cruise Line.
Good. I can't wait.
Alive and well on Disney Cruise Line. And this is why I'm saying, you know, look, I don't want to give that up, right? I don't want to give up what I love about Disney. And it's nice to know it's still there. It's still there. It's still there on those ships and in that crew and in the incredibly competent way that business has been run. And look, you guys know I don't gush a lot with stuff like this. And that if I didn't have a good experience, I think, you know, I don't have any trouble saying that, but my expectations going into this were high. I didn't think it was possible for them to exceed them, but they did.
Good.
It absolutely exceeded my expectations. It was wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I want to go back. I want to go back. And like I keep saying to myself, you don't have to review it every time you go on it. So if you want to use one of those TA rates, go ahead. And I may just do that.
Just do it.
But no, it was wonderful. But all right, I think. But go ahead.
I have a Walt Disney World question from chat. Would that be okay to throw out real
Absolutely.
Quick? Okay, so Barbara Ann A is asking, what are our favorite Walt Disney World restaurants like right now?
Because Steakhouse 71.
Okay.
They did a great job.
Steakhouse 71.
There's a guy who watches the show that works at the Target next to my house. I cannot remember his name, but he always says hello to me, and he says he went there to Steakhouse 71 the other day because he was asking me that same question, and he was like, he said, "You do go?" And I said, "Oh, not yet." And he was like, "You have to go."
Yeah.
And you've said good things about it, so I'm just hearing it from anybody who's been there, really, honestly.
My impression of it was the Wave was the best, right? We loved the Wave. The Steakhouse 71 is the Wave turning up their notches a bit and not losing anything and just gaining stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Better
across
atmosphere.
The board. Yeah. Breakfast and dinner.
The walk in, those pictures on the wall, the story it tells of the creation of Walt Disney World. And you come in, you look at the menu, you're like, oh, the prices didn't change and all my favorite stuff is still on here, except there's more stuff now and more customizing options. So like you pick your cut of a meat for your steak, then you pick your side out of like 8 different sides, and that doesn't change the price at all. Then you pick your sauces or get the sauce flight. It's just
and this is what happens. Steakhouse 71 is what happens when a hotel has an extraordinarily competent general manager, Diane Pettit. A restaurant has, because Diane was very involved in this. Diane was very involved in the process of making, and she was very focused on making sure they didn't screw it up. Darlene Cipriano, the proprietor there, is a good friend of mine. Her serving team, her kitchen team, they're good. They're really, what I'm worried about is the executive chef, Chef Barry. I'm afraid they're he's gonna get poached for somewhere else, and like not allowed to leave, not allowed to leave. But just, oh my God, I am gushing today.
It's
oh, I hate this.
I'd like to put in a word for Three Bridges Bar and Grill. I was there the other night with my husband. It's at Coronado Springs. You're on the water, so if it's one of those, you know, we're getting those slightly cooler, slightly breezy evenings, it's lovely. We sat out there, had the pork tacos for the first time the other night. They are on the entree menu. They should be on the appetizer menu because it's a smaller entree if it's an entree. But they were really great. And of course, that's Craig's favorite burger on property, which Brian had the other night again for the second time. Doesn't fail at all. Manchego cheese and a burger. It's good stuff.
I haven't had the Steakhouse 71 burger yet, which most are saying now the new best burger on property. But I think the Three Bridges one should not be overlooked.
There's a giant bowl of alcohol at Steakhouse 71 that is calling my name that people keep talking about here. So I'm just like, I'll
is
take
is
one.
Is it called that?
The giant bowl of alcohol.
Yeah, it's just, you put a fishbowl in front of me and we're good.
And a straw?
A child with a pacifier.
We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. So Rhino, big bowl of alcohol, and isolation anxiety. Yeah. What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
Another huge shout out to Banana Cabana. We did a review there like 6 months ago.
I've been to
ago.
That club.
Might not be the same.
Oh, but they got all the appetizers from Sebastian's. It was so good. Hard to get over there, though, because how do you get, you know, to the pool? It's the pool bar at Caribbean Beach. Yeah. Kind of difficult to park and get in there, but if you can, go.
Sebastian's, though, since they went to the, you know, all you care to eat skillet.
Yeah, I have no desire.
I won't go back until they go back to the regular
menu. I love their regular menu, too. Yeah.
That's unfortunate. We went to Geyser Point for the first time. I know we're like years behind the curve here, but went to Geyser Point for the first time and lovely.
Hold on. Yes. I want to just.
I know, right?
Whatever. Wait, this was your first time at Geyser Point?
Yes, it was the first time. First time at Geyser Point. Oh, God. And it was just fantastic. Another lovely evening. Mm-hmm. And it was. Have you been there, Rhino?
Oh yeah.
We all have dear.
I know. Not to come years back. Behind. I get it, but man,
you understand why we love it.
Holy cow! Yes,
you understand why we love it.
The bison burger, nice. Like yes. So good.
Damn you, people, with this discussion when I'm hungry.
It's Barbara's fault. It's not our fault. It's Barbara in the chat. Well, it's all on you, Barbara.
Damn you, Barbara. Barbara. All right. We're going to wrap up our show. If you are a Patreon supporter, please stay tuned for our after show coming up in a few minutes. If you'd like to be a Patreon supporter, patreon.com/DizUnplugged is where you can head out. I should have said that at the very beginning of the show.
I said it in the chat at the beginning. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
Also, one last thing before we go, just to put a picture towards Rhino's big giant cocktail. That is the size of it for those who are like, it is
Craig airdrop.
Oh, wow. It's nearly the size of your head.
So Craig just has that queued up. When just Rhino's on the show,
it's his wallpaper.
It's
I make magic.
Memories.
That's what I do.
Thereof.
You make magic, and apparently, you know, I've got to make sure we have a rehab rider on our insurance policy. So, all right, folks. Thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week with another episode of The Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes.